Welcome. It's Tuesday morning at 9:30, and you know what that music means. It's Digging the Dirt. I'm Kate Brister. I'm in for our normal host, hardly normal, Ann Goldin, who is baking in Italy on the continent even as we speak. My pleasure today, absolutely, is to welcome Jim Karnofsky from Il Waco, just right by the river, from Biocharm Farms. I'm so excited to have him here today. I've admired his work for several years. I was introduced to him through Master Gardening classes and Farm Stock, and of course his appearances on Digging the Dirt. And I am a big bio fan of Biochar, and I hope we'll be talking about that today. Jim is a Renaissance man. He is a retired nurse. He's a farmer. He's a citizen scientist. He is a researcher and a studier, and he grows the most fantastic vegetables on a beautiful farm that you have ever seen. Jim, welcome. We're so glad to have you here today.
Thank you, Kate. I appreciate you having me on today. Well, what I'm going to bring to you today is probably the, it's going to keep me busy the rest of my life communicating the soil mineral balance to people. It's the essence of turning around the health and disease problems that we have on the earth. People are suffering from malnutrition, especially the rich and wealthy. Their bellies are full, but they do not have the nutrition that requires full development of their mind and body. So we're having this huge outbreak of Alzheimer's type 2 diabetes, cancer, birth defects, ADHD, autism. These are defects and major defects of an easily fixed problem of malnutrition. I've got the cure for it. It is soil mineral balancing. The organics and what I've done with biochar fit in perfectly. We couldn't hold the minerals in the soil if we didn't have a good soil structure. So keep doing what you're doing, except take a bit of the science that we have thrown out the window for far too long, a bit of that science, take a soil test, find what's in the soil, and adjust it. I am the first one to put it on one of the first people to put it on a computer, and I can take that soil test from a bona fide quantitative analysis soil lab and come out with actually ounces per 100 square feet of mineral additive, say like manganese sulfate or copper sulfate, whatever you're missing in the soil, and balance that soil to what we determine is the best soil balance for minerals.
Now, are you talking beyond just, as we know, we have either predominantly sandy or we have clay. Let's talk about my yard, which is predominantly clay. You're talking about a balancing, a more sophisticated than just, okay, I know I've got clay, so I need to add some sand. Let's add some manure, topsoil, we're done, we've got soil.
Right. Kate, you're touching on what we call the cation exchange coefficient or cation exchange capacity. Dr. William Albrecht out of University of Missouri was the person who discovered this colloid a component of soil. That's the part when you do your soil shaking test, it's the part in that stays suspended in that water and stays cloudy forever. Those particles are so tiny that they call that a colloid. You can't see them even with a light microscope. They're so tiny. They're suspended in that water solution. That colloid adds into this and how a clay has a lot more colloid than a sandy soil has. And the cation exchange is greater in a clay soil than it is in a sandy soil. So let's compare it to, say, making a recipe for lasagna. A lasagna pan for two would be a tiny little pan, and that's your sandy soil. A lasagna pan for 40 is a lot larger pan, but the recipe should taste the same, whether you take a taste from the small one or the big one. So we adjust the soil mineral balance according to the cation exchange of the particular soil we're testing. So if you have, there's only so many positive charges, and we're talking about an electrical chemical balance in the soil, just like the human body has an electrochemical balance. For instance, if your mother was failing and you brought her into the doctor's office and she's just failing to thrive, and you brought her in and the doctor didn't draw electrolytes, you would claim foul and fire them and go to somebody who knew mm-hmm. how to take care of your mother. Well, we have put people on the moon, but still we are not taking the electrolytes out of the soil and testing them to see what the balance is. Can you take too much potassium in the human body and hurt yourself? Certainly you can. You would destroy the electrochemical balance. In the soil, can you put too much calcium in the soil? Some people say no, but of course you can. Mm-hmm. It would like taking my example of lasagna again. What if I stuffed that whole lasagna pan with noodles? There wouldn't be anything else left. I wouldn't have a very good recipe of lasagna. Same thing with the soil. It only holds so much. We need that perfect balance.
Now, you had said when we were talking just before the show had started that even in no matter where the vegetable is grown, it could be grown under quasi-organic circumstances, backyard circumstances, commercial circumstances, and look perfectly fine, be perfectly, quote-unquote, fit to eat, and be nutritionally bare.
Yeah, it can be just as bare as a bowl full of candy. It's made out of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and just the bare essential nutrients that minimally make the plant stand up in its and look like celery, but it's really not the nutrition that you need for the human body. For instance, there's 300 enzymes in the human body, that at least 300, and we're in our infancy of knowing this, but there's 300 enzymes that use zinc. Now, if zinc's not in the soil, it can't be in the plant. If it's not in the plant, you do not have it. So not in the soil is not in the plant. Mm-hmm. I'm putting these things in balance in the soil. I've done about 80 different soil samples from our area. I'm going up and down the river with all of our organic gardeners, getting them online. Everybody's buying into it. This is exactly what we stay awake at night worrying about, is what our soil needs. We've thrown tons of material on our soil. We've fed that soil like an omnivore, working constantly to get the right material in it. Finally, I have a formula, 68% calcium, 12% magnesium, 4% potassium, 2% sodium. So if I'm under 2%, I need sea salt to get that sodium up. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been laughed out of feed stores because nobody's ever asked for sea salt. I've used more than 100 pounds of it now.
So you are actually adding these chemicals individually as needed in the percent that they needed. So are you keeping chemicals in bottles of magnesium and zinc and whatnot?
Sure. It took me 3-4 weeks to order in a bag of manganese sulfate. It exists for the supplement copper sulfate is used for horse feed. It's a beautiful blue mineral, and so you have the amount of copper. My computer formula deals with the percentages perfectly, so I don't have to do a lot of stoichiometry with it, but it usually took me hours before the computer helped it out. But I can actually get down to ounces per 100 square feet of, say, calphos or Epsom salts or whatever the chemical is that I need. I can get down to ounces per 100 square feet for the backyard gardener to amend their soil exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's actually taking soil science and doing it for the benefit of nature, not to dominate nature and bully nature like we've done in the past with Monsanto-like chemicals. This is actually to accent nature so nature can now do its magic in the soil with all the nutrients that we know that it needs.
You've talked about, alluded to the fact that you are going up and down the coast doing soil testing. Talk a little bit more about that and how people can contact you to get their soil tested. What is the first thing they need to do? And then we'll I want to talk a little bit about the component biochar when we come back from a break. But first, talk to us about the soil testing and how.
The soil testing. First, you can send your sample to Logan Labs directly. You can buy the book, The Ideal Soil, a handbook for the new agriculture by Michael Estera. The easiest way. Now, that's basically what I did through the help of my peers to get online in this science. Contact me at biocharmfarms.com. It's www.biocharmfarms.com. And my contact information is on that simple website. It's not real easy to use, but it's there. And my phone number's there. My name's Jim Karnofsky, and you can call me. And I will teach you how to do this. I will give you the formula. You can do it yourself forever. You can be your neighborhood soil doctor. I'm doing this to disseminate the information out there. And I have these expensive chemicals sitting here. I sell them back to you at a reasonable price. If you only need 3 ounces of, say, copper sulfate, I'm here for you to, so you don't have to buy a $150 bag of copper sulfate to do this if you only need a couple ounces. So it's a real handy service, and I'm disseminating the information, and I have 2 seminars coming up that are local, rather local, one's in Olympia and one's in Long Beach. But
let me mention those just before we go on our break. We're talking about Saturday, June 23rd, 10 a.m. to noon at Black Lake Organic in Olympia, Washington. That's going to be a soil mineral testing class. And then again on July 21st from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Long Beach Grange in Long Beach, Washington. Again, that website for Jim, and write this down while we're taking our little break, is www.biocharmfarms.com. And we are back. We're digging the dirt. I'm Kate Brister. I'm in for Ann Goldine today, who's on vacation. And I've welcomed Jim Karnofsky to us this morning. He's a farmer here in Ilwaco, but more than a farmer. He's a scientist and a researcher. And he's been talking this morning about feeding the soil so that we can feed ourselves. That just because of living life and life on this planet and the way we have used our earth, our soil needs the careful attention to that our body needs to achieve its best and its brightest, as he described, so that the earth can itself do what it was meant to do and do its own magic. And I know one of those components, you'll forgive me if I do this, but I'm a huge Lord of the Ring fans, and I send this out to another of my master gardener friends who is as well. And if you'll remember when they get the gifts from the elves and they get the Queen Galadriel gives Sam a box of dirt and says, wherever you put this special soil, anything will grow. Well, it's a far stretch, but I know Tolkien was talking about biochar, a few grains of that, mixing that into the soil. And I got a sample from you a couple of years ago. And I had enough that I added it to my garden, and then I put the rest in my compost. My compost vegetables were fabulous, and everything else was good. Please, please tell us about wonderful biochar.
Well, biochar has been used for about 6,000 years by people. We found it many years ago in a setting of the Amazon forest and the rainforest, where the clay soils, everything was washed out of that clay soil and baked out by the sun. That it was impossible to grow, and they found that where the fires had been, it was best. And through their natural discovery and curiosity, the brilliance of the Indians found that for 6,000 years, I mean, longer than we can imagine, they cultured the soil with biochar. So what we have to do is take their lesson. They also fed the soil like an omnivore. They went 400 miles. We have proof through our diggings that we have They went 400 miles to get the exotic plants out of the sea to bring it back upriver to make biochar out of these sea life. So they really attempted to feed the soil like an omnivore. We have the advantage of the chemistry of life now, and we finding out that they were searching for these micronutrients. We have found a perfect balance. William Albrecht out of the University of Missouri was one of these people that found this perfect balance. He was pushed out of his office at University of Missouri by the big agribusiness because he was a big a proponent of human health. Sir Albert Howard and William Albrecht were on the same path of getting out of, they went off the reservation, so to speak, out of agriculture into human health. And Albrecht was very critical of producing vegetables without nutrition. He was very critical of just using NPK to get the tonnage, NPK being nitrogen, phosphate, and potash or potassium, to just create the tonnage so you could back your truck up, get your ticket, dump your useless vegetables off into the manufacturing site, and go. Now, those vegetables are more and more lacking nutrition every day as we go along. They're not being replaced for the most part in most settings. There is a few people that are practicing soil mineral balancing, and they're producing the best vegetables. Getting back to maybe biochar is what holds these minerals in the soil. The Indians found out that when they used it, they could grow stuff, and everything they put in their soil that they fed like an omnivore stayed there. And through the rains, through the hot sun, they could keep their organic content. And biochar acts like a super colloid. A colloid is where the roots actually exchange. When the roots actually push out a hydrogen atom, they can take, you know, a positive charge out. They can take a positive charge back in their rootlet and bring it out. While that interaction takes place along all these nooks and crannies, the super microscopic level of the plant-soil interaction, biochar acts as a super colloid, and it never breaks down, so it stays there forever. Combined with soil mineral balancing like that we're doing now, and let me mention the 11 minerals that are attended to. It's calcium, magnesium, potassium, and sodium. They're the main positive cations. The major anions would be sulfur and phosphorus. Well, the minor minerals of major importance without which we cannot survive are boron. Boron only exists in three places in the world in concentration. It doesn't get around the world very easily. It must be transported to the places where we grow food. It has to exist in 1/1000th of the ideal calcium. If sugar was calcium in the soil, like sugar is in our blood, boron is the soil's insulin. Without boron, you cannot move calcium, magnesium. So boron is like the insulin of the soil.
So are you saying that without the boron, which exists in limited places and does not transport easily, we may be, in fact, adding calcium, magnesium, or something like that to the soil and have it not
useful?
Do the job.
It's just not useful.
I see.
Yes, it's, in fact, in my conversations with Steve Solomon, he's down in Tasmania now. He's written another book. It's based on the soil mineral balancing of Michael Astera and others. Gary Klein from Black Lake Organic. These conversations about soil mineral balancing is coming to a head now with the work of Steve Solomon. And I expect his book out in November, by the way. Let's see, I've lost train here.
We were talking about biochar adding acting as a super colloid in the soil. My question to you was, we talked about earlier in the first part of the show, we talked about how clay was like an incredible binder in the soil, almost too much so. Can you explain how biochar would work to make my clay soil better, but also help the almost colloidless sandy stuff also improve?
Yes, biochar is absolutely essential for both soils. It it takes an acid soil, makes it basic. It takes a basic soil and makes it acid. And in a soil, sandy soil, it will hold and be the colloid that sand doesn't have. In a clay soil, it will be, once you have clay, it's been washed so much by the rains over the millennia that all it has left is aluminum. Aluminum is the bully of the soil. Aluminum is the 12th mineral that I didn't talk about. It has three big positive connectors on it, and it bullies everything else. It is the last man standing in that soil. Aluminum holds on, and once you've got that clay washed out like that, it's an aluminate soil, there is no room, there's no positive connections for your biochar, for any other minerals, the new minerals. So biochar gives you that huge colloid, free colloid, available to take up your minerals. I was at boron in the minor minerals of major importance, and if somebody was listening carefully, I was down to iron and manganese. I wanted to tell you that we have way too much iron in our soils in general. I've only found one soil, and that was in Washougal, that was low in iron. But we don't have a dearth of iron. We need manganese to balance out that iron, and then the final two minerals are copper and zinc. Copper and zinc work in tandem, and there's an exact formula for that within the soil, all relative to the cation exchange reading of your particular soil. So biochar fits in to hold these ions in the soil in a perfect electrochemical balance. The electrochemical balance gives nature, and if you haven't appreciated it yet, nature is absolutely omnipotent in its ability to make any chemical. It's
life will out.
Yes, it is. It's beyond. We will never know what's in the soil. A teaspoon of soil outside is different from any teaspoon that has ever been made or ever will be made. Nature has an infinite number of chemicals that it can make just at random. And I can tell you a short chain polypeptide, which is the stuff that we're made of in our amino acids, the top 20 amino acids. Well, if you have a short chain of 20 and you of 100, let's just say that there is not enough atoms in the universe to even count on. Atoms in the universe that would give you the odds for making the same chemical twice. We're talking about a number like 10 to the 130th power is the options for just a short chain, 100 long amino acid of the top 20 amino acids, meaning that you will never, nature in all the billions of years it's been around on the earth, it has never made all the chemicals that it can make or never will be able to make all those chemicals. So you appreciate the grandiosity of nature. You give it what it needs to do its magic, and it really is magic. It's an amazing, infinite variety of chemicals that nature makes. But we do know through our quantitative analysis that we can use this science to benefit us and benefit the soil without dominating that nature. Mm-hmm. We cannot. Don't be a fool to say that you can dominate nature and think beyond it. This better living through chemistry is not going to make it. It's not going to make it. We cannot dominate nature. We will not find the perfect bug killer, the perfect, you know, don't get into that business. A healthy plant does not attract disease. A healthy human does not attract disease. So you will need less pesticides. You will need less fertilizers to grow the same amount. So over time, with soil mineral balancing, you will immediately notice that less inputs will get a greater result of healthier vegetables. Mm-hmm. And everybody eating those vegetables, from your animals, chickens, cows, human beings, will be healthy and grow to the limit of their genetic ability.
Well, that's absolutely what we all want. And if you don't hear from the passion and the reason of Jim Karnofsky and what he's telling us, I certainly make the connection that the earth is a living thing just as our bodies are living things. And that wants to grow, it wants to be healthy, but it needs certain things just to allow it to do what it needs to do. Jim, in just the few moments that we have left, please recap where you're going to be in the next few weeks, where we can find you, and where we can find out more about balancing. Before we get too far in the growing season that it's too late to turn back, right now, what can we do? Where can we find you to get more information?
Well, you can do this continually throughout the year. You may not want to add all of your minerals. If you've got a crop growing, you may divide the mineral supply into three parts and sprinkle it throughout your garden and work it in easily rather than all at once. So any time you can start on this, and the best time is now. And then let me warm you up to the idea of actually using science for your garden. So many of us granola heads, me being, I came from that stock, have disowned science because it's done so many bad things. It's just a tool. It's just a tool to be used for good or bad. And it has been used for doing some bad things. Right now, it's for the last 50 years been focused on GMO, focused on the better bug killer, the better growth spurter. You know, what I want to use it for is for the health of the soil so that we can, by best evidence, turn it into healthy people. And I want you to succeed with this. So I will teach you everything you need to know. So give me a contact and I'll give you every bit of knowledge that I have on it.
Thank you so much.